Amen. I hope you know this morning the song in your heart, the new song that he puts in where once guilt and despair reigned because of our sins. Christ removed those sins and can replace it with the joy of the Lord with a song. Why? Because of justification. And that's what we're studying right now in the book of Romans in chapter 5. The result of justification. We saw that the theme to the book of Romans is the righteousness of God. And when you recognize that God is righteous and God is holy, you recognize the theme of the first three chapters of Romans. God is holy and we are not. And as a result, we are guilty before God and we need to be justified. We need to be declared righteous by the righteous judge. But how can a righteous judge declare unrighteous people innocent? That would be unrighteous, would it not? He said the wages of sin is death. Therefore, we as sinners deserve death. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ took death for us as our substitute so that we could be made righteous, so that God's righteousness could be accredited to our accounts by faith in Christ, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So we receive this great salvation, deliverance from the bondage, slavery to sin, and we have been declared righteous by faith. So we come to chapter 5 and we find out that that salvation is just the very beginning of what we receive in Christ. It's just the beginning. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 lists several results of justification. Now, there are going to be many more that we'll find in chapter 6 and in chapter 8 especially. But this is just kind of to whet your appetite for chapters 6 through 8. Chapters 6 through 8, again, I've probably said this, but they're the real reason why we're going through Romans. I cannot wait. I'm chomping at the bit to get to chapters 6 through 8 because of the way they have changed my life and continue to change my life. I love Romans 6 through 8. And this is to whet your appetite a little bit. The result of justification. Last week we saw the first result, that justification, being declared righteous by God, brings you into peace with God. Peace with God. The ladies just sang about a burden. Well, what burden was that? The burden of guilt, the burden of sin that we had before we came to Christ. But when you place your faith in Christ, he takes that burden and washes you white as snow so that you can sing a song of rejoicing to the Lord. Peace with God. No longer in the state of rebellion against God like the heathen. No longer trying to appease the wrath of God like the moralist and the religionist. No longer under God's wrath. No longer is there hostility and animosity between God and me. Why? Because Jesus removed my sin as far as the east is from the west and made peace with God. And we saw last week the importance of not just having peace with God, but walking daily in the peace of God, which can only come when you've been washed whiter than snow, when you come daily for that cleansing when we stray, and that the confession is made and the cleansing is taken care of, and we have ongoing fellowship with God because of justification, because he no longer sees us as enemies, but sees us as sons and daughters of his. So we'll pick up here in chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, because of justification, therefore being justified, declared righteous, declared innocent by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This morning we're simply going to look at the result of justification seen in the first half of verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. What does that mean? What is God saying here to us? Let's find out. Dear Heavenly Father, open our eyes. We heard about the inheritance this morning that we have, and the down payment, the earnest of the Holy Spirit you've given to us. And part of the privilege of being justified is to have direct access to you. Father, who can contain this? And who can explain this? And who can begin to sound the depths of this truth and explore it to the furthest extent? Truly, our minds are small, but we want to comprehend all that you would allow us to in this passage. Lord, you have this message for every single individual in here for a reason. Let us listen to what your Holy Spirit is saying to us. And may Jesus Christ be exalted in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we saw the first result of justification. It provides peace with God by faith in Christ. The animosity, the hostility is gone. Folks, get a hold of that. God is not an angry tyrant towards you. He is a loving Father. He's not up there waiting for you to make the next mistake so He can clobber you with His wrath. If you are a child of God only through salvation in Jesus Christ, if you are a child of God, then He loves you with the love of a perfect Father. A perfect Father. And you can rejoice that you're in peace with Him. He delights to treat you as His child. And so that moves us to the second point in verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Justification gives you access to God. Now, in the mindset of the day which Paul is writing, Paul, remember, was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Jew. To the Jewish mindset, this was absolutely foreign. The Jews didn't have direct access to God. If you were even in that day at the temple, the women could only go so far into the court. And then the men could go into certain areas of the court. And no one, except for the high priest and once a year, could go directly into the presence of God where the Ark of the Covenant was. But as a believer in Christ, you have direct access to God the Father. Direct access. And let me repeat what we've heard over and over again throughout the book of Romans. There is no room for any boasting in ourselves when it comes to our salvation. Or our sanctification for that matter, but we'll save that for another time. There's no room for any boasting of ourselves in our relationship with God. You did not do anything to earn your salvation from your sins. In verse 1, we saw that our peace with God is how? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our new Master. Lord. Master. Pay attention to the first two words of verse 2. By whom we have access. It's through Christ. It's not through us. It's through Christ. Folks, I'm going to encourage you, those in the adult Sunday school class and beyond, go through the book of Ephesians and highlight or make note on a separate piece of paper. If you don't like to mark your Bible, mark every section where you find the phrase in Christ or in whom or in the beloved. You will see it over and over and over again, because that is the position of a believer. We are in Christ. Christ as our substitute continues on. He's living before the Father. It is as if, because He's our substitute, it is as if we are standing before God the Father. There before Him in the heavenlies. And that's what Ephesians says, that we are seated together with Him in heavenly places. What a mystery. Folks, we owe Jesus Christ everything. Everything. And in this verse we see it's through Him, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. The second result of being justified through faith in Christ, justification provides access to God. What is access? Freedom to enter through the assistance or favor of another. That is Vine's definition, and a good definition. Freedom to enter through the assistance or favor of another. Jesus Christ provides freedom to enter the presence of God. The story's told of a grimy, poor little boy in London who had a tremendous burden on his heart that only the king could help him with. And so the boy went and stood outside the courts of, or the courtyard of Buckingham Palace, looking longingly at the palace and wanting to go in. And as he's standing there, the guards are telling him, stay back, stay back. You're not allowed entrance in here. Then the tears start flowing and the mud streaks his face as he wipes with his muddy hands the tears from his eyes. And he's about to give up and turn around and go his own way when a well-dressed gentleman comes up to him, puts his hand on his shoulder and says, what's the matter with you, boy? And the little boy looked up at the kind man and shared his story and shared his heartache. The gentleman took the boy by the hand, led him past the guards who immediately saluted the presence of this gentleman, and on into the halls of Buckingham Palace, down the carpeted hallways, past the royal rooms and the beautiful displays of the palace, right into the throne room of the king. And as the king saw this gentleman and this boy walk in, the king stood and ran down to greet the gentleman and heard the case of the boy, because the boy had taken the hand of none other than the Prince of Wales, the son of the king. Folks, the boy had access because he took the hand of the king's son. Jesus Christ provides freedom into the presence of God. When you place your faith and your trust, when you take the nail-pierced hand into your own, He brings you directly into accessing the throne room of God the Father. You have access to God because He has declared you innocent in His sight through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. You have access to God. What kind of access is this? Notice he says it is access by faith into this grace. access by faith into this grace. So again, we have the emphasis on faith. You know, a person can have access and never use it. A person can have access and never use it. How do we use the access to God? We take what God has said we have in Christ and we exercise it by faith. We make it our own. That's called appropriation. We take what God has promised us and we say, this is mine. He says, I have access. God, Daddy, I need you, is one way that we have access through Christ. Access by faith into this grace means we have access to God's favor. Not only do we have peace with God, we have access to God's favor. If you, we could think about it this way. You know what? Having peace with God is wonderful and is a great thing. Otherwise, the animosity is gone. But grace is more than that. Grace means I'm brought into God's favor. Not only is the animosity gone, now there's an abounding love and desire towards me. Because my sins are gone and I'm in His Son. I have abounding favor towards me. I have access to God's grace. After you're declared innocent by God, the righteous judge, we find this beautiful statement in John 1:12, which was alluded to in Sunday school class. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the authority, the power. The word is authority there. To become the sons of God. Even to them that, here's the faith, that believe on His name. Folks, you were an enemy. Peace with God was won. But not only is that animosity gone, He adopts you into His family. Now you are a son, a daughter of God with direct access. I love it when my children ask for something of me, for the most part. I won't bring bunnies into the situation right now. She's hiding behind her hair. Anyway, I love it when my children seek my approval, seek my favor, and seek my blessings. Why? Because they're my children. And I don't want them miserable. Now, sometimes I can't grant them their request because bunnies are a mess and make a mess. Sometimes I can't grant them their request. Please don't give my daughter a bunny, okay? If God provides one. All right, but anyway, okay, I'll leave Carissa alone now. But we've had a fun week in regards to bunnies. So, but when I can grant something that's good to my children, that I know is going to be good for them, I'm going to do that. And folks, God has an unlimited store of grace, of favor that He wants to pour out upon you if you'll simply use the access that you have. Because you're His child. An inexpressible privilege of being saved from your sins. There's no probationary period. There's no probationary period. You don't have to wait a while to gain God's favor once you're His child. You already have it because Jesus has already met your needs at the cross. Through the resurrection, through His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. There's no probationary period. You don't need to work up the ranks. The youngest believer in here, or the newest believer in here, has as much access to God's favor as a veteran missionary or pastor. Some of you, maybe you've not been able to go to Bible college. Maybe you didn't even get to receive a great education as a young person. But listen to me, God does not limit your access to Him because of that. You have as much access to God as a pastor, as a missionary, as a Sunday school teacher, as a veteran saint. If you are in Christ, you have direct, full access to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Access. There's no security clearance levels. I have one cousin who married a secret service, a Secret Service agent, and I have another who married a CIA, somebody who works for the CIA. And the Secret Service agent has the highest clearance, security clearance that can be had, and regularly is taking care of some of our nation's top political leaders. He has access. I don't. But folks, as a child of God, there's no higher level security clearance that you need. There's no security clearance levels. Right now, if you are in Christ, if you've received Him as your Savior, if you're cleansed by His blood, if you are in Christ, you have the highest access clearance available in the universe. You have access to God the Father. And that's why Hebrews says, let us come boldly to the throne of what? The throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Complete favor with God through Christ. In fact, you cannot overuse this access. You can't overuse this access. Even with the highest security clearance, my cousin's husband is not going to be able to take advantage of just whenever he wants going and knocking on the president's door and saying, hey, let's chat. He has the clearance, but he can't do that. Folks, we cannot use up our privilege of access to God. In fact, God says in James chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, when you're in the middle of a trial and you need wisdom badly, He says, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men, how? Liberally. And upbraideth not. He's not going to get upset with you for asking again. He upbraideth not. We have permanent access to God. Permanent access. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 is the adult memory verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You have access to the riches of heaven. You have access to every need that you might possibly face on this earth by accessing the throne room of God. We are accepted, specially honored by God, and made acceptable in the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6 says. We have as much acceptance with God as the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, because we are in Him. We are in Him. You have access to God's favor, a result of justification. And notice, folks, that access is permanent. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Those last three words are very important. Wherein we stand. You need to understand, folks, that as we're talking about Romans, so much of this is from a judicial picture, a judicial standpoint. So, judge and defendants, And to be able to stand means that you have been accepted. To be able to stand means your case has been won. So keep that picture in mind. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. I'm going to be very technical for a moment, and I'll illustrate it to help you understand. The Holy Spirit used the perfect tense in this phrase, wherein ye stand. The perfect tense to describe our standing in God's favor. The perfect tense in the Greek means this: once you've received it, you will always have it. That's a very simplified statement. Okay, once you've received it, you will always have it. And that's the tense that the Holy Spirit used. Here's an illustration. Some of you this week will probably venture over to the Hartford Fair. I don't know if the Hartford Fair offers this or not, but some fairs do. You can go there, and let's say you go Monday, and you go Thursday, you go Friday, and you're going to pay a daily rate. You'll pay for the days you attend. And you have access on those days. Some fairs offer what's called a season pass, where you go and you pay one price, usually a discounted price if when it's all broken out. You pay one price and you have what? You have unlimited access. From the time the fair begins to the time the fair closes, you have unlimited access. You don't walk around in fear of, oh man, where's the security guards? They might throw me out. Because you have unlimited access. You have the season pass. Folks, the access to God here is a season pass. Except there's no closing to that season. There's no closed season. Access to God, wherein we stand. This is a confidence, a permanent access to God's favor, God's grace. The grace that delivered you from the penalty of sin. The grace that gives you victory over sin each day in your life. It's available to you if you'll take it. Grace that lets you pray anytime, anywhere. Grace for every trial that may come your way. Every situation in life that you'll encounter. Grace that offers you provision in every need you come upon. Folks, even grace to this extent, that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's the grace, the favor that God gives to us in Christ. Every moment, every circumstance, every need, to the time that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even then he promises to be with us. And then to usher us absent from this shell, this body, into his presence. That's the grace in which you stand if you've been justified. Truly, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The grace of God cannot fall short for your need. The grace of God will not somehow disappoint you if you are seeking that. The grace of God is available to every believer here. And it's permanent. It's permanent. What happens is that sometimes when we fall and we fail, and we know that guilt and we need that cleansing, somehow we think God has moved and changed his position towards us. His position has not changed. We've changed. We're the ones that moved, not him. And he simply says, return to me. If you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Come back. You still enjoy this favor, this fellowship. Your sins have been removed. You've been justified. You're my child. When one of my children fail, when one of my children need a loving hand and of love from dad, I don't say you can't be my child anymore. Once it's dealt with, I am hugging them, I'm holding them, and I'm saying, I love you, you're my child. God is like that. He doesn't move in his position towards us. He doesn't move in his love towards us. We're the ones that wander away. But he's always right there, again using the parable of the prodigal son. The father is always watching for his son on the horizon to return. He doesn't move. He didn't leave. It was the son that wandered. The father's watching, wanting. And folks, right now, if you're in Christ, God the Father wants you to access all the grace he has for you. He wants you to access his presence daily in fellowship with him. That's why Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. The picture of eating together, the idea of deep fellowship together, that is the access you get when you become a child of God. And he wants you to take advantage of and enjoy that. Permanent access. The little boy standing outside Buckingham Palace gained access to the king for a brief hearing. The Prince of Wales could go in at any time to his father. But folks, because Jesus Christ is in the presence of God for us, we have access at all times. This is the grace wherein we, perfect tense, stand. The favor of God. Are you living like you're in the favor of God this morning? In your heart? Do you truly believe that you are in God's absolute favor? That nothing can make you more favorable in the sight of God? Do you believe that this morning? That's the reality. That's the reality. If you're a child of God, that access is permanent. Again, I want to call your attention to the word stand. What is your standing with God? What is your position with him? Without Christ, as someone who has never trusted in Christ to save you from your sins, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're still back in chapters 1 through 3 of Romans. You're still under the wrath of God. God's love's available and demonstrated towards all. But the only ones who get to experience his love are those who, in repentance of their wicked ways, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Cleanse me in the blood of Christ. And they're instantly made a child of God. But for those who reject it, the Bible gives some verses that would apply to you. Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Those who are not in Christ are still in their sins, the Bible says. They're still lost in their sins. And the understood answer to that question, who shall stand? The understood question, the answer to that question is, no one will stand. Anyone who is still in sin, they have their position before God is that of being under his wrath. They will not stand before God. Revelation 6:17. The time after the rapture of the church in the lost world is still left here, and God pours out his wrath during the tribulation to tell men, to show them his divine righteousness against sin, to say, I'm showing you this is just a taste of what's to come. This is just a taste of the eternal wrath you will suffer in hell. Turn to me now, and yet they continually harden their hearts. But what is the cry? There will be many that will be saved. Let me put that in there. But at the same time, this wrath is being poured out to call men to repentance to Christ. And here is the cry. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The fact is that without Christ, no one can stand. And therefore, Psalm 1 and verse 5 says, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Unless you've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul, your standing with God is the opposite of Romans 5 and verses 1 and 2. If you're here today without Christ, you do not have peace with God in verse 1. You don't have peace with God. And that's a fearful thing. Because if you die right now in your sins, you will spend eternity separated from God under his wrath. And you do not have access to God. You don't have the privilege of being his child, because you're still trying to go your own way. But God says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. There's only one pathway to God, and that is through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. You don't have peace with God. You don't have access to God. But God wants you today to turn from your sin, receive cleansing, and become his child. He wants you in the position of standing in his favor. A Christian who has asked Jesus Christ to save him or her from their sins, trusting in Christ's righteousness applied to his or her account, that person has a righteous, perfect standing with God. Therefore, being in the position to receive all of God's grace that he has for believers, infinite favor and graces, permanent access. Let's bow our heads in prayer. How is your standing with God this morning? Is there anyone here today that would say, Pastor Hunt, if I died today, I am not sure that I would spend eternity in heaven. I am not sure that I have peace with God. I am not sure, Pastor. Can I tell you this, that if that is in your heart right now, that's not me talking. That's not me trying to scare you. That is the Holy Spirit inside you saying, here's something you need to take care of. That is God trying to speak to you right now. And in the quietness of this moment, you can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved from your sins. Is there anyone here today that would say, Pastor Hunt, if I died right now, I am not sure I would spend eternity in heaven. Would you pray for me that I would get this, that I'd understand this? I see that hand. Anyone else? Pastor Hunt, pray for me. I'm not sure that if I died today, I'd spend eternity in heaven, but I want to be sure. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone else? Boy or girl, man or woman, anyone else, pray for me. I'm not sure. Believers, those of you who know Christ, much are you using that high clearance security access that you have? You know, we often hear someone say, oh, they're so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. I've never met a person like that, to be honest. But there's an awful lot of earthly minded Christians who are living of no heavenly good because they're not using the access. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart this morning as a believer and saying, Pastor, I've neglected this access, I'm seeing that, I'm convicted by that, but by God's grace today, I want to start walking in the fellowship, in the access to God that He's promised. I want to start trusting Him and accessing His favor. Pastor, pray for me. The Lord's working in my heart. Anyone like that today? Yes, I see those hands. Anyone else? I see those hands. More. Yes, across the room. All right. Heavenly Father, Your word is truth. It's absolutely clear. Sometimes we go by our feelings instead of walking by faith. Faith is always rooted in the word, in what You have said. And You have said that justification gives us access into Your grace, into Your favor, and that it's a permanent standing. That's what You've said. Yet sometimes we let our feelings and our failures control us. And that is sin. And Lord, we confess that to You. I confess that to You. Because You know, Lord, that I often have walked by my feelings rather than by what Your word says. Please draw us into deep fellowship with You, accessing the grace that You have given us so that we might live to the praise of Your glory in fellowship with You until the day we see You face to face. Make us effective, Lord, in our labors for You because of this access. I pray, Lord, we'd take advantage of it. I pray for those in here this morning who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray Your Holy Spirit would lovingly convict them and convince them very clearly of their sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, just as You promised He would do in Your word. So that there's not a false profession, so that there's not an unclear decision. But Lord, I pray You would open the eyes of the blind. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.